And welcome back to another crossover edition. This is Locked On Chiefs and Locked On Chargers talking about this big AFC West matchup headed into week three. I have David Drogemeyer with me from Locked On Chargers. How you doing, David?
Doing really well, man. Seems like we've been doing this for a few years now.
It does, doesn't it?
That's because we have. It's crazy how time flies. I mean, these in-division matchups are always very physical and very fun to watch.
Yeah, and I enjoy talking to you guys because you and I have a pretty good time doing these crossover episodes. And I will say, I'm very happy to see the Chargers are not really dealing with the injury bug like they have in the past. Don't get me wrong, they have some injuries, but not near what they've had in the past.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is more of a two of these top AFC West teams going head to head at pretty close to full strength, which we haven't seen in years past. The Chargers have been without key guys like Joey Bosa at some points. Derwin James missed the better part of the last two seasons. So this is going to be a really awesome measuring stick to really see what these two teams at full strength really look like.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. When you get into looking at what happened to the Chargers in their loss against the Cowboys, what did you really see in that game?
Penalties, number one. Every time the Chargers tried to get something going, they'd take three steps forward and take five steps backwards. They had 10 penalties on the offensive side. It's just crippling. You can't get into any kind of rhythm in your play calling. You have an explosive play, it gets taken back, so it's an emotional drain. The penalties, like that's a controllable, Chris. That's something that you absolutely can't have. I expect Brandon Staley to drill on it, and I expect the Chargers organization to be extremely pissed at that performance. Brandon Staley said after the game it looked like a preseason game because they called 20 penalties in this game, and it was sloppy. Also, the run defense was disgusting. The Dallas Cowboys ran wild on the Chargers.
Boy, I can relate to that one.
Yeah, I know.
Lack of discipline, though, as an offense, when you start talking about all the offensive penalties, that's a huge issue that you definitely got to get straightened out. And I can definitely relate to the lack of run defense.
Yeah, it's terrible. And also the red zone efficiency or lack thereof for the Chargers. They've been in the red zone six times. They have only come out with two touchdowns. They've also thrown the ball to the other team in the red zone. You can't win games, especially against an offense like the Chiefs, an offense like the Cowboys. You have to score touchdowns when you get those opportunities. The Chargers just haven't been doing it good enough.
Yeah, and honestly, when you start looking at that game, I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was it was pretty low scoring. I was expecting closer to 30 points.
So was I.
And to keep it where it was, I was just really kind of shocked. I know the Cowboys' defense really struggles, and credit to your defense for being able to keep the Cowboys as low as they were. So that was impressive as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting that type of ball game, Chris. I'll definitely be the first to admit I expected this to see with both teams scoring 30-plus points in this ball game, but that was not what we saw. And I think a lot of that had to do with the Cowboys controlling the running game, really running 6-7 yards a pop, the Chargers not being able to get after the quarterback because of that. It was much more of an old-school defensive ball game than any of us expected.
So a little bit closer to like the 35-36 ending that we saw with Kansas City and Baltimore. Is that kind of what you were more expecting?
That's exactly what I was expecting. Yeah. I was thinking these two high-powered offenses that can definitely score at will from anywhere on the football field. I expected some fireworks, and we didn't get any.
Yep. And when you start looking at the Chiefs game and you look at their loss, it can come back down to, the turnovers hurt. Don't get me wrong, but really the reality is Kansas City's defense really hurt them in that game. Yes, they got two takeaways early. That helped the offense. Problem is that when you cannot stop somebody that gets in your red zone and make them kick a field goal, that's a big problem. And when you give them close to 10 yards a carry as a team, that's a huge problem. So they've got to get that figured out. There was a lack of discipline. You had a lack of discipline on the offensive side with the penalties. Kansas City had a lack of discipline when it came to hitting the run fits and stopping the run. That was just this thing that really stuck out to me in that game, is that they could not be in the right place at the right time. And sometimes even when they were in the right place, they couldn't bring the person down.
Yeah, lack of physicality. I mean, that was a big problem with the Chargers too. I mean, they would get there, but they wouldn't get the tackle. They missed 10 tackles against the Dallas Cowboys. And that's another thing you have to eliminate. And it's kind of hard to drill that in practice nowadays because they can't really tackle in practice anymore. with the CBA rules, it's really changing how they can really prepare. Yeah, it's just really hard. So they're going to have to do their best to get that cleaned up, because this offense they're going up against has several really, really fast wide receivers that can really do some damage in the open field.
Oh, there's just a couple of them. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Be modest now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's going to do it for the first segment. And when we switch things back over, I'm going to ask Chris Clark some questions. But before I do that, with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts that you need at a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions like, is that an Odyssey LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands that the warehouse happens to carry. You have computers and access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are reliably low and the same for professionals and as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so we know who sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, rockauto.com. All right, so we're back over here with the crossover. Chris Clark, Locked On Chiefs. David Drogemeyer, Locked On Chargers. And, hey, I got some questions about the Chiefs. We did not expect a loss in the month of September, Chris. I will be very, very upfront about that. We're not expecting that. We don't see the Chiefs lose in September with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. So that is definitely a new sight. But one of the things that the Chiefs did going into this season was revamp their offensive line. After that performance in the Super Bowl, where they got frankly harassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they went out and made a flurry of moves to try to upgrade that unit. How has that new look offensive line looked throughout the first two games of this season?
I don't want to take away from the offensive line, but I do want to say really quick, they got harassed in that Super Bowl. They also got harassed in the Super Bowl before. That offensive line just wasn't that good when it came to being able to pass protect. And it always struggled going against short yardage situations, blowing people off the ball. This offensive line, they're still a work in progress when it comes to the running game. But when you look at, you know, compare week one to week two, Orlando Brown gave up 5 pressures against Myles Garrett week one. I've said this many times on the show, and I'll say it again. Myles Garrett is in a tier of almost his own. He's maybe top 3 pass rushers in my mind. So I'm not going to be that upset that he gives pressures. I think that, you know, Reed needs to really adjust and say, okay, well, you know, he's not going to be able to stop him all the time. Maybe we'll chip him a little bit more and get him to go off the normal beaten path. Brown didn't give up any pressure in the second game. Tooney gave up 1 pressure in the second game. I think Smith gave up 2 pressures in the second game. So they gave up a total of 3 pressures against the Baltimore Ravens. And yes, the Ravens don't have the best pass rush. They haven't had it, but they didn't give up any sacks. They gave up a couple hits in a hurry, a couple hurries on Mahomes. But the issue was, is they're not allowing sacks. They're not allowing him to get hit a lot. And the interception was caused by pressure, but that was also, in my opinion, more on Mahomes than it really was on than it was on Humphrey at the time, because Mahomes basically ran into that pressure. He stepped up into a place where it put the offensive lineman in a bad place where he couldn't get the block done, and the defender was able to get his hands on him. So to me, that's more on Mahomes than it really was on the offensive lineman. So I think they've looked a lot better. I'm really excited about what they can do going forward. You have 2 rookies starting at center and right guard, and they have allowed 0 sacks so far this season. Yes, there's pressure, but 0 sacks, that says a lot.
Yeah, and obviously Patrick Mahomes has a tremendous ability to extend the play.
Yep.
And I think sometimes he trusts his arm a little bit too much with him stepping up in the pocket and trying to maneuver around and not really thinking about what his offensive linemen are doing in front of him. But, I mean, hey, when you have an arm like that, I understand it. I really do. The Chiefs, they didn't really make a lot of changes to the roster going outside of the offensive line. So I'm curious about the Chiefs' rookie class. Has anyone from the Chiefs rookie class stood out to you so far?
Well, I think you're seeing dividends from Nick Bolton already. I do think that that's going to be a guy that's going to continue to get play time. And I think what you're really going to see is when Willie Gay gets back from IR, I think this Chiefs defense has the ability to step up, because I'm hoping that they'll take Neiman off the field and they'll put Bolton in there. Bolton getting snaps early in the season and being able to play defense. Yes, he's out of place sometimes, but he's going to have to learn how to be in the right place. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting the snaps. And so I'm hopeful that with him playing early on, because Gay is out, that is going to pay dividends down the road. You have another guy in Noah Gray who is not really contributing much right now, but it's really hard for me to say that I'm surprised, considering he's behind Travis Kelce. He's behind the best tight end in the NFL, and yes, I know I'm biased, but I still think Travis is the best tight end. So really going to be hard for him to show much of a huge impact on the game, though he does have the ability to act a lot like Travis Kelce in some ways. And I think that's something that he's going to grow into this season. He's just not there yet. And then you have Cornell Powell, who's on the practice squad. Hopefully he's going to be able to develop into something eventually, but right now, not so much going to be somebody that's going to be playing very much.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Bolton, getting some rare opportunities early with him, mm-hmm. with Gay being on IR, valuable playing time. And hopefully this is going to pay dividends later on in the season for him.
And obviously Trey Smith is and Creed Humphrey, the two guys that are the biggest. And I kind of already mentioned those in the first one, so that's why I didn't mention them there. But those guys are huge. You can't emphasize enough how going from Austin Ryder last year to Creed Humphrey has been a huge step up at Kansas City for Kansas City. And you know, so I think that those two together are going to be a lot of fun to watch for the foreseeable future. I think there were a lot of people that didn't think that Smith could step in and start. He has proven them wrong. And yes, there are going to be growing pains with that much youth on the line, but I think it's definitely worth it moving forward.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey was a guy I really liked coming out of Oklahoma. I mean, just as solid as they come. Next question here. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have been slinging the ball all over the yard. They rank in second in passing yards, third in receiving yards, but the rush offense is completely opposite of that. They're ranking 29th in the league with only 135 yards rushing. What's going on with the Chiefs running game?
I think it's a twofold problem. I do think that you look at this new offensive line, and I don't think they've gelled very well. I think that in that regard, when it comes to the running game, I think they're feeling pretty good when it comes to passing fits. But when it comes to run blocking, it's a whole other ballgame. There have been times where you've seen a good sign or two. The TD to Darrell Williams, while you know a lot of people look at that and say, well, he just ran in for a two-yard touchdown. That's not that big of a deal. For Kansas City's defensive or offensive line, that is a big deal. They haven't been able to blow people off the ball for years. So them being able to get the yardage they needed in that situation and not have to try it two or three times is a big deal. So they're getting that push from those guys to start with. So I think that's a positive sign. The other thing I will say is Andy Reid has always been a guy that's going to throw more than he's going to pass. And he's even come out and said, and I don't think it was Reid, I think it was actually Bieniemy. But you know, when EB says something, it's coming basically the same from Reid. Sure. That they look at slants as basically being run game.
Extension of the run game? Yeah.
Right. So if you start looking at things in that aspect, then the run game becomes a whole different ballgame with Kansas City. And honestly, at this point, they really haven't really done the slants very much either. They've been doing different types of routes and doing, you know, dinks and dunks down the field, but it really hasn't been slants getting them the most of their yardage. So I do think that the running game is going to be something that they're going to have to try to figure out as the season goes, but the offensive line has got to mesh better together before that's going to happen.
That makes a lot of sense. Obviously, you got a bunch of new starters on the offensive line. Same
five.
Thing. Yeah, five new starters on the offensive line. That's crazy.
It's unheard of.
The Chargers have four new starters on the offensive line, so I can definitely understand that. The next question here, Travis Kelce is phenomenal, guys. Obviously, he's an all-world tight end. If he's not the best tight end in football, he's probably 1B, but I don't know. There's a big argument to be had there. But the Chargers are probably going to use Derwin James to try to erase Travis Kelce. That's going to be one of the better matchups that we're going to see in this ballgame. How do you think that battle is going to play out?
I've yet to see a team that has the ability to erase Travis Kelce. Patrick Mahomes, and I think part of what makes Travis so so hard to guard isn't just his ability. His ability is fantastic. He's a great tight end. He's great at running routes. He's great at finding different shallow spots in the zones to sit down and be open. But it's also the chemistry he has with his quarterback. And I think that's the biggest thing that he has going for him that other teams really just can't stop. Because while he can run a route or he can have an option route, Mahomes almost always is going to know where he is. And two, if Mahomes goes in a situation where I won't really call it duress, but he's running around, he's looking for Kelce because Kelce is going to find a way to get himself open and get himself back towards the ball to be able to be the receiver. So that's really hard for a defense to defend against, because at that point it becomes almost schoolyard ball as opposed to, you know, actually NFL football where they're running routes.
Yeah, that's one thing with Patrick Mahomes you always have to be cognizant of, is his ability to extend the play and for him to get out there and still look to throw the ball down the field. So it's yep. It's very important that
you manipulate. It's manipulating defenses.
No question about it. He does it better than pretty much anyone else in the NFL. Last question here is very simple. What do you think is going to end up deciding this game?
Whew, that's a tough question. I do think that the question – I think what it's going to come down to is who has the ball last. I look at both of these offenses, and I look at Kansas City's defense specifically. And the other side is, you know, I think the Chargers have a good defense. I don't know that they're going to be great. But stopping Patrick Mahomes and stopping this Chiefs offense, especially when – Andy Reid has shown that he has a little bit of the ability to basically scheme up however he needs to get an offense going. I think that's going to be a problem for the Chargers to stop. So the question is can Kansas City get a stop or two? Because their defense showed last week they couldn't stop anybody. And the other question is do the Chargers stick with the running game? Because Baltimore went away from it at times, and it almost cost them the game. They ended up being able to win the game. But it almost cost them the game. They kept throwing the ball when they were getting almost 10 yards to a rush. I didn't understand it. So to me, it's who's going to come down with the ball. So let's go ahead and get to talking about one of our other favorite sponsors that we have here, BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron. Our teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sports book experts. Promo code is locked on. Be sure to use that as well. Hey, Chiefs and Chargers fans. This is Chris Clark with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back on your first fill up. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or even an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. Go get it today. All right, so this is going to be a fun game. I'm really looking forward to this. I always look forward to playing the Chargers because they're a great team. And I do think that these teams play themselves – or they play each other very hard every single year. It's always going to be a hard-fought battle. But when you look at this team, and this is really going to be what I'm curious about, at least to start, how do you feel like Justin Herbert stepped into his second season starting? Because to me, it just seemed like even the other teams that went away and didn't have their starting QBs play, they struggled the first couple weeks. It doesn't seem like Herbert's done that. He doesn't seem to be having a sophomore slump that I have seen. But what have you seen from him so far this year?
Yeah, Justin Herbert is definitely not having a sophomore slump. That was one of the segments we had on our show that actually aired today, which is ridiculous to me that people actually out there think that he is regressing. He's on pace for 5,600 passing yards. He has 337 passing yards pretty much in each of the first two games. He's completing over 70% of his passes. He's in an offense now that's really built for his strengths. They're going to try to push the ball down the field. He has a rocket arm. He can make any throw out there on the football field. He's showing his same elusiveness, his ability to feel the pressure and extend the play. He's making strong plays. He's made a couple of errors, right? I mean, you're going to get that. Mm-hmm. This is a new offense. He has a little bit of a learning curve. This is his like fifth or sixth different offense in the last 5 or 6 years, dating back to college. So this guy has incredible aptitude. He will get this offense down. There is a little growing pains, but Justin Herbert is doing just fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really surprised me about this whole thing, at least in my mind, was you're going into a brand new offense with a new offensive coordinator, new coach, new everything, and you're not going to have your QB play at all in the preseason. I get wanting to be cautious because, you know, like we talked about before we even started recording, the Chargers have been snake bitten when it came to injuries. So I get being cautious, but man, that really looked like that could have been something that was costly. It hasn't cost them yet. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out going forward. When you still look at the rest of this offense, it runs through guys like Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is important as well. Austin Eckler is a huge piece of what you do on offense. And you said this already. You have four new offensive starters on the offensive line. But the guy that's sticking out to me, and it's not really from week two because Ian and I talked about this too. I don't think the Cowboys have a good pass rush, but the Redskins do. Or sorry, the Washington football team, I apologize, have a good pass rush. Chase Young is a monster. And Rashawn Slater shut him down. What can you say about him so far this year?
It's just unbelievable excitement. The Chargers haven't had a left tackle of this quality probably since 2007 or so, since Marcus McNeil was the left tackle of the Chargers. And even that was only for a couple of years. Rashawn Slater is just a technical beast. He is really, really good in pass protection. You can't beat him with strength. You can't beat him with speed. He can square you up. He's a guy that can erase pass rushers. It's really, really exciting. And also, they like to run behind him on the left side as well because of that technical ability. He's really strong. He climbs to the second level really well. And yes, he erased Chase Young and Montez Sweat. And Chase Young to the point to where he moved to the other side, stopped rushing against Rashawn Slater probably about halfway through that ball game, understood that he was not going to get home against Slater and had to move to the other side. And on the other side, they had Brian Bulaga and Storm Norton, and they also had some help for Storm Norton on the right side when Brian Bulaga went out, which is something I expect to see more of, especially in this game against the Chiefs. But Rashawn Slater is an absolute maniac.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm really excited to see Chris Jones go up against Rashawn Slater. I'm not saying that I expect Jones to win a bunch of those, but I wouldn't be shocked if he wins one or two. Chris Jones is probably the second best defensive tackle of the NFL, even though he's playing defensive end right now. I do think he could give Slater a little bit of trouble, but it'll be fun to see if that ends up happening. When we flip it over to the other side of the ball, you start looking at the Chargers' defense, and there's a lot of new faces there, but then you still have Joey Bosa who's coming back. He looks like he's healthy so far, but I do think that you said something about there's a little bit of an injury that came out of this last game. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Joey Bosa on the Zoom call on Monday basically said he's had a little bit of an ankle thing. They taped it up. He said it's not really serious going forward, but it is something that obviously you want to monitor with his injury past. He is a guy who's extremely tough. I remember last year he was on the injury report, and it literally showed four or five different injuries, and he still ended up playing on Sunday. So Joey Bosa is as tough as they come, but it is something to monitor going forward.
And then you start looking at the back end of your defense, which has completely changed in the fact that Derwin James hasn't been available the past couple of seasons. He gets hurt early in the season, and I'm not trying to call him injury prone at all, but the reality is he just hadn't been available.
It is what it is.
Yeah, now he is, and it changes what you can do on the back end. You said that you expect them to line him up against Travis Kelce when we were talking about what they're going to do and your questions for me. What do you see that he does different, that he makes that defense differently just because of his ability to be just about anywhere and be at really an all-pro level with the way he plays.
Well, that's just it right there. Anything that you ask him to do on that field, Derwin James is capable of doing at a high level. If you want him to go up against your number one wide receiver like they did against Amari Cooper and the Cowboys and erase him, he can do that. He took Amari Cooper out of that game. He was a non-factor because Derwin James has that ability. He can also play back. He can play in the box and run support. He can rush the passer. Anything you want him to do, he is capable of doing. I do expect him to try to blanket Travis Kelce. Obviously, I say try because Travis Kelce is fantastic. But Derwin James, the last time Derwin James and Travis Kelce went at it, they had a really good battle, and I think Derwin James did a pretty good job of bottling him up. But even if you do, you still have three or four other wide receivers that can, you know, run wild down the field. Obviously, Tyreek Hill being chief among them, pun intended. But yeah, I would expect them to try to use Derwin James on Travis Kelce and probably try to bracket Tyreek Hill as much as possible. Those are two of the guys you really don't want to beat you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my next question was going to be, is if they do that with Travis Kelce, how are they going to slow down Tyreek Hill? Because that is the key. If you can slow both of those guys down and you force the Chiefs into their third, fourth, and fifth options, yes, they have options there, but nothing anywhere close to what they had in previous years when Sammy Watkins was healthy.
Yeah, like I said, I think they use Derwin James on Travis Kelce. I think they'll probably try to put Michael Davis on Tyreek Hill with safety help. I mean, you just can't cover this guy one-on-one. We know that. We know the cheetah is ridiculous in the open field, and you don't want to give him a lot of space. So I would expect him to try to jam him at the line and have help over the top to try to blanket and eliminate those two guys from the equation. If you try to get them to get the ball to Pringle and Mecole Hardman and, you know, those other type of wide receivers, that is the best game plan for the Chargers to try to win this game.
Last question I have really quick, and it goes along with the Derwin James on Travis Kelce, and I hate to keep harping on this, but I'm curious. Derwin James is a safety. So are you expecting that they're going to go with a three safety set to combat this Chiefs team? Because I can't imagine that the defense is going to want to go single high safety with Tyreek Hill on the field as well.
No, definitely not. They're not going to do single high. This is a split safety look that Brandon Staley usually likes to deploy. They disguise their coverages a lot. And as much as I would like them to put Derwin James on Travis Kelce every snap, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. They're going to move Derwin James around the formations to try to get him as close to the football, as close to the action as possible. So that's what I expect to happen. I do expect them to have a concerted effort to try to erase Travis Kelce. But like I said, that's going to be easier said than done. I do expect them to use Derwin James the majority of the time there, but Derwin James can't be everywhere. So, and you kind of need him to be everywhere. So they're going to spread him around.
Fair enough. And that is going to be it for us today. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. Go check out David on Locked On Chargers. And as always, please go like and subscribe and, you know, give us comments on the YouTube channel. We really do appreciate those. David, it's been great talking to you, and good luck in this game this week.
I appreciate it, Chris. Good luck to you as well and the rest of the season.